Hey, Kramer, listen, you've seen The Omen, right? What exactly was that kid?
Damien?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, just a mischievous, rambunctious kid.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McQuiggan. Mike, say hi.
How's everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we're to do is drink and talk about movies. Now, we are in week two of our remake run here. This is not so much a shot-for-shot remake like Funny Games or Psycho will be a couple weeks from now. But this is, a lot of this shit is, there's a lot of dialogue directly lifted. So it's kind of a shot-for-script remake.
Yeah, it's almost a shot-for-shot remake if you modernize it. And then they just added some dumb shit for some reason.
And so, of course, we will be talking about The Omen from 1976 and 2006. I think this is a lot easier to talk about than it was last week, obviously, because these are two movies you can watch and actually enjoy for the most part and parts, but
they're definitely a different experience. I enjoy both of these. 2006 frustrates me a bit, but I do enjoy them both to an extent.
Yeah, there's a lot that 2006, I think, does better, but we'll get into that. So before we do, though, we have to talk about our drinks. Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I didn't really go with something themed. I was just in the liquor store, and I saw a beer that sounded interesting and was a Always Sunny reference. So I got Stay in the Car, Frank, from Neck of the Woods Brewing.
Okay, nice.
It's an IPA with Citra, Mosaic, and Eldorado hops. And it tastes exactly how you think it would. A little hoppy, a little citrusy. It's what you want when you get like a light summerish ale.
Nice. All right. So I, on the other hand, went to Total Wine today and I picked up a few more beers from your six pack. And I was trying to think, you know what? Let's try to get some thematic stuff going on here. It doesn't matter if they're local, then they're not. But I think I have two very interesting ones for tonight. So my first one here is, and this is great because it's a guy on fire, and it's spiked fruit punch made with real fruit. Now, it is Guy Fieri's Flavor Town. Guy Fieri has apparently made spiked fruit punch. And I gotta tell you, it looks like fruit punch. It is absolutely fruit punchy, and let's see if it's got that that Hawaiian punch fruit punch. Oh, okay.
That doesn't smells... sound like someone who just got brought to Flavor Town.
There's flavors, I'll tell you that. It smells like orange juice. It tastes. I don't know how to explain the taste. It's not, there's no like real carbonation to it. It's just like a weak fruit punch.
Huh.
And the little blurb on the back says it's happy hour in Flavor Town and we've got real deal fresh flavors to pack a punch. Just like I'd make in my own kitchen. We use real fruit juices and high-quality ingredients to deliver a fast, fresh flavor every time. So grab a Flavor Town Spiked and get the party started. Oh, this is also from Two Roads Brewing is who this is from. But it says it is, Two Roads in Stratford, Connecticut. But I got to tell you, it's 6%, but it really just tastes like regular fruit punch. I don't know. I was kind of expecting some sort of, liquor-y or alcohol-y backfeel or, aftertaste or, I don't know. It just tastes like fruit punch, which I wasn't expecting. Maybe that's my brain going, like, you weren't expecting this, so it's weird. Don't like it. But, I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad. I can tell you, it's fine. It's just fine.
I think I have the better 6% drink here.
Yeah, probably. My second one, though, is a little, maybe a little more badass. We'll see. So, on to the main event, which is 1976 Omen versus 2006's Omen. Mike, how are we going to break these down?
So, I was debating. This is a lot harder to come up with fun comparisons for shot-for-shot remakes. Like I said last week, I thought it might have just been funny. I didn't want to talk about Funny Games because that movie was something else.
Yeah, I mean, that was a difficult one, though. We were mostly talking about that one because it was an identical movie with two different casts.
So again, I think we got to talk about our breakdown of like our major characters with Robert Thorne, Catherine Thorne, Damien, kind of.
Oh, no, we definitely got to talk about Damien
Yeah.
because I think there is a clear winner.
Keith Jennings, what's her name? The Satanist lady, Miss Horton, Mrs. Horton.
No, Mrs. Horton's the regular lady
Oh
that
yeah,
was there.
Mrs.
Mrs.
Baylock.
Baylock is the one that's the evil
And
lady.
then Father Brennan.
Father Brennan, yes, because Father Brennan is an actual actor in the remake, whereas the original OG Omen, I don't remember ever seeing this guy in anything. He's more of a monster movie kind of guy, but like the guy they get in 2006 is by far the real actor, you know?
And then besides the major characters, there's three differences that I think we gotta really look at. A, this movie has both movies do two of the most iconic deaths in horror films, the noose and the father getting impaled. So we gotta look at
I would argue that David Warner's plate glass decapitation is one of the most
Yeah,
iconic.
you're right. Add that as the third. So we
That
gotta
one.
do a comparison of the iconic deaths. Video
Absolutely.
montage or picture montage?
I mean, that 2006,
Now
they've been clear.
this is more of a, do you like the 1976 timeline? Because Or the 2006 timeline, because the 2006 one is very much a modernized version. So, which like time do you think works better? Like they're both antiquated at this point, but which one do you think feels better for the movie?
Yeah, I can see that. Thanks. I'm telling you, we can do
And
that.
the other major difference that I really want to talk about in terms of comparisons is the scene with the father getting shot.
Okay. All right, yeah, it's the final scene of the movie. Well, second to last scene of the movie because the final scene is Damien pulling a Funny Games and
Yeah.
turning to the camera and smiling at you.
No,
But.
the other differences is just stuff 2006 added that just all bugged the shit out of me. I'm gonna come out and say it. I hate the dreams.
The dreams make no sense. They make absolutely no sense because they're literally just dreams for jump scares. You know, that's all it is. They felt somebody said that you got to put jump scares in this movie, and that's how they did it. I mean, because the original does not have any jump scares. It doesn't need it. It's a movie about the Antichrist in child form. You know, it's there's no jump scares to be had.
And then I'm torn about like the scene kind of towards the beginning with the people are like, oh, the signs are here that the end times are coming.
Completely made up and fabricated for to make the 2006 one modern. And
Yeah.
yeah, okay, so let's start there because and the last thing we have to talk about is Damien himself
Yeah.
because he will be the tiebreaker, I'm sure. But okay, so the differences, let's talk about the differences. So the 2006 one starts off with basically like the Pope and the Vatican seeing a comet and then having this slideshow presentation about why it's the end times and what that means. Whereas, and it's basically the Pope going like, oh, just bless everyone, you know, may God have mercy on our soul kind of shit. And it doesn't really do anything. But in the original, the first thing we are introduced to is the birth scene, the quote unquote birth scene. And it introduces you to the fact that they're as far as Gregory Peck knows, his child died in childbirth. This other child that's in the nursery's mother died in childbirth. So, since his wife doesn't know this fact, you can do a little switcheroo here. The kid has no family. No one will be the wiser. Just raise this kid as your own.
Which I do. Watching this, I'm thinking Good Omens the entire time, because I love how Good Omens kind of flips this script on this this whole thing, where it's like they play a game of like trying to switch the Antichrist into being in a more powerful person's hands, and then it turns they accidentally give him to the wrong person, and he's accidentally raised to be like a pretty good kid.
Right. Whereas in both movies, because the same thing happens in the 2006 one, it just happens after the opening scene. The thing is that the big revelation that comes is that it was basically a conspiracy by, like, they don't
Elliot.
out, well, yeah, they don't out, but they don't outright say that the priest in the beginning of the movie was like a Satanist or anything like that, or was even on not on the level. But apparently he was involved in this cover-up where they killed the original son and replaced him with this Antichrist son who was born of a jackal and all that. Now the plan was to get him raised by a politician, and since they hit both times we are the ambassador to the United States. For the United States, that is the world of politics that they're trying to get him to rise up the ranks through. So basically, that's what leads Damien to eventually kill everyone and survive. And as far as we know, and I think that's what comes up in the Omen 3, the final conflict. I think that's where that kind of takes more of a like a Dead Zone kind of vibe. And there's this whole thing where, like, the whole thing is orchestrated so that Damien is raised by this powerful, rich political family, and then he will eventually rise to the ranks and take over, take the
Which
power that's his.
I will say, I saw the 2006 one once when I was younger. Like I was 9 when the 2006 one came out, and this was like my first end of the world scenario where it was like I actually remember people were like, "Oh, it's gonna be June 6, 2006. The world's gonna end." So I'm like, "This is the like I was alive for Y2K, but this is the first one I actually remember."
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's one of the things that they don't explicitly mention, but they mention in their little slideshow. They mention 9/11. They mention the tsunamis. They mention I think Katrina is the other thing that they mention. There's a couple things that they mention, and then eventually it gets down to the point where, like, people just hate each other and there's war. People are just fighting all the time. So that's another sign of the devil. It's like,
That's
okay.
not just, human history.
Yeah, that's not just people being people, but okay, whatever. And it is funny because even the Pope is kind of like, all right, I get it. What are you getting at? It's like, let's pick it up. We got lunch. Come on, man. But the pointlessness of the remake stuff, because then they add in those dream sequences, and there's another kind of tweak in the new one that they in the remake that they make, which is to have Liev Schreiber and blanking on her name, Julia Stiles, to have their marriage kind of be on the rocks to begin with. Like, they do very much allude to the fact that these two are not great together, and that his job leaving her alone pisses her off, and she doesn't want to be a mom and stuff like that. It's a very weird thing that is not in the original. The original is very much the Thorns are a loving family who just want a child, and this is what they did, and they made the sacrifice. Like, Robert made the sacrifice to bring this child, to deceive his wife this way, just so they could have this child and raise a child.
Which I'm like, I'm debating which one I like more because, like, in 2006, it makes it seem much harder for Robert Thorne to actually go through with killing Damien because it's like loving family and everything. Where in 2006, it's like a complicated family and everything.
I mean, and there's Liev Schreiber. I mean, we'll compare Gregory Peck versus Liev Schreiber in a minute, but Liev Schreiber basically plays the whole thing as like he's just kind of going through the motions. Like he's
Yeah.
going through the steps. But he's also in a situation where in the remake, it's a lot more explicit that crazy shit's happening around him. Like he
Yeah.
is like there for everything. Whereas Gregory Peck isn't around for a bunch of the stuff that happens at home with Damien. And he just kind of like sees some weird stuff, like this, like Mrs. Baylock bringing a dog into the house who hates Thorn and growls at him, but listens to her without question. And it's like, first off, A, this dog allegedly just got to this house. How is this woman so good with this killer guard dog? You know, it's right there, red flag. Somebody is wrong, something's going on here. But everything with Liam Neeson, that would be a better one. Liam Schreiber's character,
I have a very
his version of
particular set of skills.
it would be great. That would be amazing. If we had like taken Omen, that'd be great. But with Liev Schreiber's character, he's basically just like, all right, what's annoying me this time, you know? And then he sees all this shit come true, and even then is like, you know what? Nah, I don't believe it. I'm not, no, this is craziness. It's like, okay, dude, you literally saw the entire prophecy happen before you, and you're about to watch a man get his head cut off. And at that point, you're like, okay, I'm 60-40. You know, I am like 60-40 here. I'm not quite convinced.
Good argument. You swayed me your way a bit, but I'm still not quite there.
Everyone, right, everyone has died the way these weird photographs have showed them to die, but I'm not convinced. You
Which
know?
that before with the before even with the comparison, this is like the first time I've watched either of these movies in a while, and I forget how much they feel more like a suspenseful investigation than they do like outright horror, like for 70% of the movie, I would say.
Which is what the original, and this is why I give the original the point to the original, because the remake tries to make it like a modern horror movie with jump scares and extra gore and all this stuff. But the original is just a evil kid, possibly evil kid, because he only
Because
really
it could be
freaks out.
coincidences.
A lot of things with him are definitely like coincidences. Like his freak out about the church. Granted, not so much a normal freak out about a kid going to church, but it everything else with this Damien is just kind of like, okay, he's a quiet kid that never got sick. It's like, yeah, that's weird, but he's a good, like any parent would love to have Damien as a kid because he's not a problem. You know, he's not restless, he's not cranky, he's not fighting, he just goes along with everything. He's just a quiet little dude. But everything else about the movie, all of it's all set up to be like that thriller that you mentioned, and it's a mysterious, like religious thriller. But the remake, they're like they shove those dream scares in for jump scares, and it's stupid. It's all dumb. And they try to add the Pope and his slideshow, and even the Pope apparently dies at the same time at the end, which means nothing, comes to nothing, and it's to no reason to be shown. But because it's supposed to be this grander end of the world thing, 2006 audiences apparently couldn't have figured it out that the prophecy was coming true without the Pope dying. You know, it's like it's just one extra thing that doesn't need to be there after another.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, the original absolutely gets the points for the just the pointless crap that 2006 adds in terms of like the what's in 2006 that isn't in the original. There was no reason to add just about any of it. Like, you can maybe make a justification for the slideshow at the start to kind of set things up. I don't love it, but I understand someone being like, hey, I like how it sets it up. Like, I don't think it's an absolutely useless addition, but it's definitely not my favorite addition.
It's a step down, or it's a, I guess, a step up in this case from the opening scroll, like from an opening narration that explains the movie. Like it's just a step up from that because we put some effort into it, you know. But that's what the original Omen people, and it's funny because the original Omen doesn't, it has the reputation of being the Damien movie. But a lot of people, when you actually think about the movie, it's not an incredible movie. It's just there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end, and it tells the story it wants to tell, but it really doesn't break any ground. It's not like doing anything crazy. The death effects are great because practical horror deaths in the 70s were amazing. But in 2006, we had, obviously, we'll get to this probably next if we do the deaths next. We had terrible 2006 CGI to assist with that lightning rod falling, and it's rough, like, to watch some of that. It is absolutely rough. But I will say, I think the 2006 one does the deaths better because it makes different choices. Whereas the original is already really close to the top because of the David Warner death. The plate glass decapitation is one of the most iconic deaths in movie history. It's
So
amazing.
I think we should start with the hanging because I think they're the like I think that's the most like you could go either way on it because that's one of the shot for shot moments pretty much.
It is. And that's that. It's all for you, Damien. That's like one of the biggest quoted lines from this movie, you know? So it really is. And that is, and I'll again, this is one though I'll give to the original because that little extra bit of the nanny going through the window, as opposed to just smacking it against the wall, it adds to it. Like, it just adds to it. She shatters that window. It makes it, it gives a little more oomph. And it's like, okay, all right. But the lightning bolt, the lightning rod deaths. Original, it just goes through him and he's dead. The remake, though,
Glass shards in his
Pete Postlewaite gets glass shards in his eyes. He is fully impaled on that thing and he's like leaned back, like he has been run through, which he has, and it's great. While David Warner, his plate glass death is a decapitation is amazing. And you can't, Solus's sign, like Final Destination sign falling. It's a great effect as well because then you get the added bonus of the body falling down the stairs, which is a great, like, post-decapitation, like, body's got to go somewhere kind of situation. So I kind of give it the points, but I want to give the points to the original because
just because it's so sudden. It's
they do a little extra and it's sudden. But the problem is the remake. And it's again, it's a post-Final Destination world that this thing lives in. Unfortunately, there's a lot of setup for some of these deaths. And it's a lot of Final Destination, like death is trying to kill this person deaths.
you're right. Like you look at his boss dying early in the movie and
Who does not die in the original? That dude's not even a guy in the original. Peck gets his promotion to full-on ambassador, and we're moving. We're just off and going.
That's the boss. Like that's one of the additions that I'm like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, I'm fine
It's
with that
fine.
addition.
It is fine. It is fine. But it's very much the cigarette death from Final Destination 2. It's the girl in the Suburban dropping the cigarette out the window, and it leads to the explosion, which leads to the fence, you know, flying and all that. But it's a very, you know, Rube Goldberg domino effect.
But
And
I
that's
think
all over the 2006 one.
I do lean for the photographers that with the with 1976 just because it's like so sudden, but
Yeah.
that puts them at a tie for me, and my tie breaker is Mrs. Baylock just getting wrecked by the car in 2006.
Yes. Mia Farrow's death as Mrs. Baylock is so much better in the remake than just her, I want to say, almost gentle stabbing in the original. She's basically just stabbed in the neck with like a barbecue fork and a knife in the kitchen, and she just kind of falls like a bad flu death, you know? Whereas Mia Farrow is like, what is she? She has like a croquet mallet or something that she's about to hit him with, and she just gets plowed by the car. It is a good death. It's a great death, and yeah, it does put the remake over as well. I agree.
All right. So next, oh God, what was the differences that I wanted to talk about? Why am I blanking on the second one?
I'll just do that until you remember. No. Okay.
The final scene, this and
Well, let's talk about the final scene then. Then the final
okay.
scene's next because then we're gonna get into like the performances is what we're really getting into. So the final scene in the original, Gregory Peck, there is a slow motion gunshot that goes off by the cops as he's about to stab Damien on the altar with one of the ritualistic knives that he has to stab him with. And it's only a shot, a slow motion shot of the gun firing, and that's it. And then we cut to the funeral. Whereas in the remake, And it's, oh, it's just a street cop. Like, it's just a police officer or a detective in the original. Whereas in the remake, we have SWAT team laser beams trained on Liam Schreiber. He's going for the kill, saying the fucking Lord's Prayer, which I don't believe Peck does in the original.
Now,
He's
he's
just like,
very not religious.
no, he's very much a conflicted, like, oh, I guess I gotta stab my adopted kid now. But it is. I was actually shocked by the restraint that the 2006 one showed in not showing him get lit up by like nine SWAT guys. But it is a bit overkill because we had like a SWAT team killing an ambassador. I'm not saying that the 70s would have done it like this, like they would have, but I feel like in this situation, someone would have at least tried to talk to him before he got a knife in the kid, and the shots would have only come after the knife went in the kid. It's, you can't just kill a diplomat like that. There
That's
are rules.
which is why I very much give this to 1976.
It's also more artfully done because the original director is Richard Donner. He's fucking Dick Donner, for Christ's sake. The man's a, he's a legend. And he knew how to compose shots. And there are a lot of legendary shots in the original. And that shot at the end is underrated, I think, because it's so simple. And it leads you, it doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't tell you what happened. Like at the end, the next thing we see is a funeral. So it's like, oh, okay, so they shot him on the altar. You're like, we don't need a blood squib. We don't need to see Damien running into the arms of the cop or anything like that. Like we fire a gun, we leave it up to the imagination of the audience, and we move on. And in 2006, I want to say that it feels like they cut the scene where Liev gets lit up. And Damien runs into the arms of the SWAT team, and they say, "It's like we got him, we saved him. Here you go, Madam President, Mr. President. Here's your new adopted devil son." But it's just such a more modern and brutally stupid way of doing it. Like, why does it have to be a fucking SWAT team that takes him down? It's really dumb. I just find it really stupid.
Yeah, I agree. That's it's very much, and it makes a lot more sense for average cop to just like go, doesn't matter if it's a diplomat, gotta.
Because they're in London. Like, they're in London in 1976. That's the thing you gotta remember. This is the American ambassador to London. So he's in London, and you gotta figure Scotland Yard, and for what they show, they're only showing like whoever's nearest to this car chase, And of course, that turns out to be beat cops and a detective. Whereas in the remake, somehow we get the whole of like British special forces after this guy. It's like, where were they this whole movie? Is this the Pope's like hit squad? What is this?
Are
And
these
of
the
course,
Inquisitors? Is this the Spanish Inquisition?
nobody expects the Spanish SWAT team Inquisition. But and then of course I forgot the Pope dying is intercut with this whole scene right here at the end. And it's like when the gunshots go off, the Pope drops his final glass of wine that he's holding in his death man, and he dies. And then the entire audience just said, "Why?" It's like, for whom? Why was the Pope dying? He wasn't dying earlier in the movie. Why is he dying now? What's going on here?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
That would be great. That would be great if just like, a Boy's Life magazine fell from his hand. As the Cardinal Maxwell takes the belt off his neck. That would be great.
Oh, I remembered the extra category. 1976 setting versus 2006 setting. What do you prefer?
You mean
I mean,
what?
like the time, like they both.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, because they basically take, it's not like one takes place in a war zone or something,
No, it's best shown in like the one and 2006 has home movies. 1976 is done through photographs of Damien growing up.
I for some reason I was thinking about this today, but probably because I was looking at my own son, who after this I always check for the birthmark of the 666 because it's going to appear. I know it will. I have it, my daughter has it. It's my wife's the only one that doesn't, actually. It's really weird. But
Yeah, that's not on my side of the family.
yeah, no, it's not from my wife's side. It's definitely from my side. But But the way my Santerre is, because he's only a few months old, his hair is kind of growing in like as like a little bit of a mohawk.
He
And
has the Jack-Jack spike.
he does. And but the thing I was thinking of, it's like, because at the end, it's pivotal scene in both movies where they have to cut Damien's hair to see his 666 birthmark. And my question was, this baby was a baby at one point, and even newborns lose their newborn hair and
Yeah.
basically become bald for a minute. That 666 birthmark would have been there at some point. Someone would have seen this, regardless of the jet black hair that the 2006 one has. Someone would have seen this birthmark. So I feel like early on, someone would have caught it and been like, wait, what is this?
Which again, it makes me think of actually the American Dad episode that actually does the omen, where Stan thinks that Haley and Jeff adopt a kid. Stan thinks he's the Antichrist. He's like moving his hair. He's like, six, six, five. Oh, thank God. And then he's like, plus one equals 666.
Nice. Yeah, or it's kind of like it's like Homer with his birthmark of the stone cutters thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's a little too perfect to be anything but a something else. But when they showed the album, it's like I was like, oh yeah, it's like a father, an attentive person to this baby would, because Mrs. Baylock doesn't show up until he's five,
No.
so like she's not there to cover things up. Like they would have seen this 666 at some point. They would have asked about it. You're like, what is this? Is this genetic? Like, is this smallpox? What the fuck is this? This isn't normal. That looks like a round of sixes, is what it looks like.
I also have a bone to pick with both of these movies for trying to give Rottweilers bad names.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because that is another difference that I want to talk about. We have in 1976, we have nothing but Rottweilers. It's all Rottweilers. The only dog that Damien looks at or anybody sees is a Rottweiler. In 2006, we have two different dogs. We
One's a
have
black German Shepherd that would have been so badass.
that German Shepherd is so fucking evil looking. It is the most evil devil dog I've ever seen. When they show that dog, just the way that that dog is shot. He is almost a shadow in this, but with a big, flowery, colorful background. And that thing's almost like a negative space dog. And it's like, it looks demonic. And I was like, oh my God, that's an awesome, to the point I was like, I wish I had that dog. It's not a dog. That dog is too fucking evil looking to just be around,
Where I'm looking at Rottweilers, and all I can think is, oh, they got eyebrows.
Exactly. But then the rest of the dogs we see in the movie, because German Shepherd disappears after that, so the nanny scene. We don't see him ever again. But then we get the pack of the Rottweilers for the rest of the movie. And it's funny because dog actors, there are some good dog actors out there. There are some bad dog actors out there. And I think we had in the 2006 one, at least, because it was 2006 and the American Humane Society was probably involved, or the Humane Society was probably involved with this, with the animals on set. In 76, I feel like these dogs were probably just poked a shitload until they got angry.
Yes.
Whereas in 2006, we got dogs that are trying to act. And I think we just got a bunch of good boys here because there's a lot of scenes where they're just kind of like being dogs. You're like, well, these dogs aren't evil.
I love Rottweilers. A lot of people see them as like these like guard dogs or like they're portrayed as like kind of vicious dogs,
Oh, because of the 76 happened.
but they can't be police dogs because they got too much of puppy ADD. They're too
Yeah.
distractible.
Yeah, if anything, what we needed was either that demonic German Shepherd, or we needed some Dobermans to get in there. Because Dobermans just have that natural look of like a killer. These dogs are just sleek German world ender is what
But
they are,
then you bring the Dobermans in, and then what is this, the Omen or Death Row Records?
Either way, man. Either way. Either way.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that dog, I mean, I'm telling you, the 2006, if the 76 one wins because it gets better reactions from the Rottweilers, but that evil German Shepherd is so demonic looking. I think it kind of puts it over simply because he's like, you got the good boy Rottweilers, but then that dog's like, you know, somewhere else on set, just like scaring the shit out of the Rottweilers.
Yeah.
Like
All
it's almost to
right.
the point, it's almost to the point where I was expecting him to talk. Or to like talk like with like the devil's voice.
Oh God, you get like the what's his name? The sheep from the Vvvitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get that through talking. It's like that's what I feel like that's what we should have gotten. But yeah, but I feel like we gotta give it to the 76 one simply because those dogs were, I wanna hope they were trained to be good actors. It wasn't just the 70s and animal abuse, you know.
Yeah.
But those the Rottweilers in 76 one are better at being menacing, I guess I'll say. All
Yeah, I'll agree. All
right,
right.
so what are we at? We gotta take a break, but what are we at?
We'll start getting into the actual performances. I don't care
All right,
what order
well,
we're doing with the performances, but
we'll get there, but we gotta talk about how our beer check-in's going. So what we got?
all right, so I am very much enjoying my stay in the car, Frank, from Neck of the Woods. Again,
Car, Frank.
this is a great beer for the summer. Solid 6% and refreshing, very citrusy. I could chill by the pool with this.
Nice. And my flavor town fruit punch ended up being just fine. Like it ended up being fairly fine. I guess you just got to keep drinking and then it comes around. But now I've switched on to my B nectar, which it's the letter B nectar, NEKTAR. They are from Ferndale, Michigan, and it's 6.2%. It is a hard cider with raspberry and cranberry, and it is called Blood Amulet. So it's got a nice, like, devil. It's got a little devil hand holding the blood amulet. It's like, all right, there you go. Now we're talking the devil here. But and it's a lot darker. It's like a red wine kind of dark. It's The only thing I don't like about it, I think, is the taste. But everything else has got very devilish omen vibes to it. But yeah. All right. So on the performances, let's start with the least important, which is, or I guess I'll say, was least important in the sense that they have the least amount of screen time or effect on the plot. So we got to start off with Father Brennan. We have Rando in 1976 versus Pete Postlethwaite in
Which
2006.
I'm, if we're going for intimidating kind of scary priest, 1976 wins.
Oh,
But if
easily.
we're going with like, a guy that's actually trying to accomplish something and like trying to appeal to Liev Schreiber, Robert Thorne, that something's wrong, then you go 2006.
Yeah, and the only thing I don't like about, and it's definitely 2006 for me because Pete Postlethwaite is just, I enjoy seeing him better than the other dude. But the problem with both of them is that Father Brennan is only given this like mysterious harbinger role where
Yeah.
all he does is talk in fucking riddles and he doesn't explain what's actually happening here. All he really needs to do to get Liev Schreiber or Gregory Peck on his side is to say, hey, your son is the Antichrist. I can prove it because I was there when they made the switch after killing your kid. There's this pack of like Satanists in the church that want this to happen. They got you as a sucker, basically. You're raising the Antichrist. Here's how you gotta fix it. You know, I'm not gonna be around. They're gonna kill me at some point. Somehow I'm gonna be dead. But here's how you fix it. You go to this guy, you do these things, and here's what you do. But instead, they both just like repeat this poem
Yeah.
as if saying it more times is going to get Thorne to like be like, oh, I get it. You know, if I say it enough, he'll understand. But it's such a dumb character because of that, that
He
I got
gets
to
a
give it to
pretty
Postlethwaite.
cool death.
He does. He does. Like he's the lightning rod, but I got to give it to Postlethwaite because even then his death is better. You know, his version of the death is better.
Oh,
So,
yeah, for sure.
2000, yeah, 2006 wins that one for me fairly easily.
Yeah, I would completely agree.
So next, let's go with Jennings. Let's go with David Thewlis versus David Warner. Now this is tough because both I love both these
They
actors. Both,
literally are like the same person. They're like the same.
it's like the 1976 version of Jennings is like the young version of David Thewlis, somehow. But David Warner is he's such a great actor. And you get like this weird, like Malcolm McDowell-ish kind of vibe from him because he's a young actor in this movie. And you don't ever think of David Warner having been young, but then again, you don't ever think of David Thewlis as ever having been anything but kind of like a vaguely shady dude, you know? Like, 'cause he just has that look. He just has the look of like a shady dude.
Except in
And
Harry Potter.
even then, he kind of does because he turns into a werewolf for Christ's sake. I mean, but even then, you're like, ah, yeah, I can see it. But in this movie, I think I would lean towards Warner more because he's the fact that he's not kind of a weird, like, they don't portray him as being this mysterious guy. 2006, for some reason, tries to make him this like mysterious character, and he doesn't need to be. He's just a photographer, you know? He's just a paparazzi. That's all he is. And I just think David Warner does it better. As much as I love Thewlis, I think Warner just does it better.
As I am torn, so I think I like Duelist better, but because of how Warner plays off of like Thorne. I like the character in that better. So it makes it hard for me to pick, but I don't feel strongly either way. So I'll give the win to 76.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, Gregory Peck and David Warner are better together than Thewlis and Shriver, simply because Shriver, I don't think he understood what movie he was really in. Like I don't think he was given good direction
I don't
about
think
what movie he
Schreiber
was in.
was the right choice for the role.
Yeah, and I just don't think he cared, to be perfectly honest. I don't think he gave a shit. Whereas Gregory Peck was Gregory Peck.
Because I see
What
Shriver
was the
more
noise?
as like either a horror movie villain or like an action type, like an
Or
action.
hot and weary, you know?
The only time I've seen him play a parent that I thought was kind of good was movie 47.
Movie 43,
Movie 43.
Isn't he? Because he's the father in the skit where he like bullies his kid, right? Where it's like the only funny skit in the entire movie. But yeah, it is good. So all right. So we give that one to Warner. Okay. So next we got to go with Baylock, Mrs. Baylock, who. Unfortunately, and this is weird because Billy Whitelaw is Mrs. Baylock in the 76 one versus the legendary Rosemary herself, Mia Farrow, in the 2006 one. It's tough when your devil child Antichrist movie has the literal mother of the devil in it. But when Rosemary herself is in your movie, it's tough. But Mia Farrow does not have the evil look. She does not look evil. Billy Whitelaw looks evil.
Now, here's the thing though, because there's one action that they take that just work, it just makes a lot more sense in 2006. And that's when they kill the mom, the way they do it. 2006 does it 1,000 times better with
Yeah,
just
with the whole.
ejecting the air into the blood transfusion thing.
Yeah, while Damien outside like hypnotizes the guard and like he like shitting his pants, you know. But it's funny, yeah, because although I do enjoy the fact that what's her name? Lee Remick, Kate in or yeah, Catherine in the 76 one. I do appreciate the fact that she gets thrown out of a window through that top of the ambulance. It's a great death. It really is. It's a good death, but it's very like how big is this woman really? It's like how strong is this little tiny evil
I
woman?
get Damien can can hypnotize people and maybe that's how they escape, but elevate like they still had some sort of security cameras in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it is funny. Yeah, even with Mia Farrow, it's like she'd never be left alone with an ambassador's wife. You know, in either case, they'd never be left alone with her. And
But just the manner of death makes a
it's
lot
better.
more sense in 2006. But yes, look wise, oh my God, 1976.
Lily Whitelaw is an evil looking woman in 19 in that movie, whereas Mia has a better death. I absolutely believe that Billy Whitelaw is, as Mrs. Baylock, is the evil one and is the worshiper and the Satanist and all that, and she's there to protect the Antichrist.
But does that not make Mia Farrow a little bit more sinister because she doesn't really look it?
They don't really give her the chance to play it, you know?
Yeah.
Mrs. Baylock is like eating up evil time. Like, even when she has to do like the innocent stuff, like, oh, Damien's not feeling well enough to go to church. You do get that sense of, oh, something's weird. Something's wrong here. Like, she's covering something up. Whereas Mia Farrow is just kind of like, oh, he's kind of getting sick. You don't want to go to church. And then Julia Stiles, like, dressing in the car in 5 minutes, bitch, you know? Whereas Lee Remick in the original is kind of like, got to kind of almost fight her. And like prove herself, like, hey, you work for us, so you listen to us, you know? And it's
Yeah.
there is more of a pushback. And even to the point where Lee, where Billy Whitelaw is better with the dog as than Mia Farrow is. Mia Farrow, it's just like it almost seems like, and maybe this is the dog acting, Mia Farrow just kind of seems like that's her dog, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Billy Whitelaw seems like, okay, this is another minion of Satan. We're on the same team. But I kind of have to like act as the human master because that's the role that we're supposed to be playing. And even when it's like, this is a stray that I have tamed, you know, this evil guard dog that I have tamed, that's like terrifying in that
Yeah.
movie. She is very scary as that.
Yeah, that's I'm despite the two deaths working better for me in 2006, I'm gonna agree with 76 just because like she did terrify me.
Yeah, it's pretty wild because even like when you look at her IMDb page, her picture is like this not a sweet old lady, but she's got this blonde hair and she's kind of got like this almost like Catholic school teacher in a yearbook kind of pose. But even when you look at her face, if you look past the blonde hair, he's got this look on her in her eyes, kind of like, I wasn't really acting in The Omen, you know?
Yeah.
That's just me. I am evil. Where's Mia Farrow's Mia Farrow, you know?
Yeah.
But all right. So now let's move on to the Catherines or the Kates. That will be okay. So I feel like the Kates are kind of like an ineffectual character because all they're really there is just to die and be tortured, like psychologically
So
tortured.
I prefer her in 76, if I'm being honest.
And I agree simply because, and it's the relationship with Robert, with her
Yeah.
husband, that puts it over. Because you believe Gregory Peck and Lee Remick as a couple, like a loving couple who just wanted a kid. And they are loving parents trying to make it in today's wacky world. Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles, as much as they want us to believe that these two have chemistry, they do not. And then they're trying to get us to believe that that's be like then their marital problems are even worse because of that. No, it's these two don't belong on screen together, especially not as lovers, you know,
Yeah.
or as husband and wife. Julia Stiles, as much as she's as good as she is in 10 Things I Hate About You as the bitch, she is not a mother. She's not a mother actor. She just isn't. She's too young for one. She just doesn't look like she should have kids in this movie. And then there's the added weirdness of the 2006 one, where it has her in a lot of like the only way I could describe it is like Shining-esque settings when she's brushing her teeth in that red robe in that weird fucking bathroom that they have.
And the dreams.
And the dreams, yeah. And then there's the dreams. And it's like, and then all she does is like, she, when she's annoyed by Damien playing the video game, it just comes across as a woman who's annoyed by a kid, by a kid make like existing
Like
as a.
you're on an airplane and the little kid's making a little bit of noise and you just want it to
Exactly.
stop.
Exactly. Whereas Lee Remick plays it as a woman at the end of her rope.
Yeah.
Like she is at her breaking point and she just can't do it anymore. So she snaps a little bit at him. And it's like, okay, I believe this more. So I give the point to 76 on this one, definitely for Lee Remick.
For sure.
And Julia Stiles, as fine as she is in most things, she's just not good in this movie. But then again, I don't know if that's entirely her fault. You know, yeah. This movie doesn't give their means,
well,
their leads, a lot to do.
Cast the parents.
Right. Yeah. And
if
then
I'm trying to think who in 2006 I would have wanted to be casted.
I mean, you would have needed somebody who can play a better, like, not broken woman, but a woman who shows frustration and, like,
Toni Collette?
Toni Collette would have been great. But she would have made it, I think, a little bit too intense.
Yeah.
She's a little bit too intense of an actor. Like, she, like, in Hereditary, if this was her, like, from Hereditary, it'd be perfect. But it would also be a little over the top.
But what if it was, like, her from the way, way back?
Yeah. Just, like, because she's good at, like, doing conflicted. She really is. She's really great at doing conflicted and, like, put upon and dealing with some shit. Whereas Julia Stiles just, she's not. She, that's just not the role for her. And she's better in the Bourne movie. She's better in 10 Things I Hate About You. She's better in Save the Last Dance. She's better in pretty much everything else she's been in as opposed to this. It's just, this is just a lot of this movie, except for one kid, one actor, and I gave it up there, the kid, is miscast almost across the board, except for Pete Postlewaite. You know, Pete Postlewaite's great. David Thewlis makes it better, but the role itself is, like, here's Dave, what David Warner did. You do it with a digital camera, you know, that kind of thing. And it's with the wives, I got to give it to Lee Remick.
Yeah, for sure.
That brings us to Peck v. Shriver. I feel like the answer is obvious. It's neither. They both suck. No, it's Gregory Peck. It has to be Gregory Peck.
It does. Just
simply because Liam,
like,
Shriver.
I don't think he's an excellent actor.
No, he's not.
But he feels more like a conflicted father than Liev Schreiber does.
Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird lights out. It's a great performance. It is hands down awesome. In this movie, there's just, he's good for what he needs to be. And he plays everything right. He plays the conflicted parts right. He plays the disbelieving parts right. He plays the kind of, like, annoyed husband that his wife simply can't, you know, not be annoyed by the devil child she's raising. Like, he kind of plays those roles fairly well.
Yeah.
You also believe him as an ambassador, you know? Like, we don't see a lot of that, but we do believe him as an ambassador. Whereas Liev Schreiber, I feels like he's not even in the right movie. Like, he feels like someone told him, hey, you're Robert Thorne in The Omen. And he was like, okay, what's that mean? And they were like, well, your son's the devil and you don't really believe it. It's like, oh, I can play that. You want me to play it, like, detached and uncaring, right? No. Well, that's what I'm doing. You know?
He's like, well, that's, yeah, what I'm doing. I'm going to be typical, kind of standoffish Liev Schreiber.
I'm going to be me. I'm going to be Liev Schreiber, and you're going to have to deal. Where's Gregory Peck? I sympathize with him more. I was more on his side, you know, whereas, again, like, Liev Schreiber, I just didn't believe actually wanted to be there. So I got to give it to 76 on this one.
Absolutely.
All right. So the big dance here. We are at the final of the championship. The kid himself. We have Damien himself. Whereas, and I want to get these little kid actors right because they are pretty great. We got Harvey Stevens as OG Damien. And then we have, what was this boy's name? Because he's got, like, one of those, like, 2006 after kid names. We have, oh my God, where is it? Oh, IMDb, you suck. All right. Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick is the 2006 one. And I got to tell you, I may be a tiny little Angus Young from AC/DC in 1976, a little British schoolboy, was terrifying for somebody, but that kid ain't terrifying me. The kid in 2006, when I look into his eyes, he is dead inside.
Yeah,
that is the devil's song right there.
He's got shadows around his eyes, like he hasn't slept in 5 days.
When he gets the look in the car going to the church. When he gets that look of like, oh, I am not going in there. This is evil. I will not do well in this church kind of thing. And then he's before he starts to freak out, you really get the sense that this kid might burst into flames if we put this actor in a church, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's also the contrast of the, and I knew it had to have been a conscious effort because it couldn't be anything but giving him that like jet black, almost bowl cut to do that. He looks like an evil kid. Like when you do that, because then you combine it with those like ice blue eyes that he has, he just looks evil. Whereas the British kid, it's like, all right, dude, who? He does show up in the 2006 when he is tabloid reporter number three that does ask questions. That is him grown up. But also, if you actually look at that actor's Wikipedia, he's kind of a prick. Like, he apparently gotten a few fights in his day, and most of which were, like, you know, bar fights and shit like that. But as Damien in the original, he just doesn't have the juice, you know? He just doesn't have the demonic part down. He's got the ain't I a stinker kind of bit a little bit, and he does have the little like grin, like, oh, like,
the grin at the end of the movie. I'm giving to 1976, everything else I'm giving to 2006.
Absolutely. And even though that both roles, I think the 2006 kid is actually given a couple lines, whereas the 76 kid, I don't think he has any actual lines in the movie. And it, but all the roll lines in 2006 are in the beginning. It's when he's hiding from Julia Stiles. And he says, I didn't mean to scare you, mommy. I'm sorry. Like, that's it. But that's all he does, the rest of the movie. And then the rest of the movie is just him screaming. While I will give the kid in 76 the credit that at the end, when he is fighting Gregory Peck in the car when they're driving to the church, he's putting up a better fight. He's putting up a much better fight. But the 2006 Damien kid, I feel like they may have actually woken that kid up and like told him to act in that scene because he's kind of falling asleep in the car. Oh, yeah. You know, he's kind of falling asleep. He's kind of like, no. It's like he's just not putting the effort out. But for the most part, 95% of this movie, that kid is evil. And then there's the little, and again, this probably is the back and forth between him and the most demonic dog I've ever seen in movies. In 2006, when he looks at that German Shepherd and he gives him like the little like Pastor Troy kind of like pinky wave, just kind of like, hello, doggy. It's almost like, and the dog kind of does that like, you know, silent dog head nod, just like, understood.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the pits of hell, you know, like that kind of thing. It's like, okay, that's even more evil because you know that he controls that dog.
No. These movies would have been so much better if the Hellhounds were Chihuahuas.
It would have been great. If the 2006 remake just decided to do everything differently, like, make it like cats, you know, just make it cat or like birds or something.
I'm like, Chihuahua, so like, the only reason I could think that Chihuahuas wouldn't be Hellhounds is they are more evil and rise above the evilness of the Antichrist.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of animals, though, did you happen to catch the dude in the gorilla suit in the 2006 remake in the zoo?
No.
When they're panning across the monkey, like the monkeys in the ape room, like the ape enclosure, there is a dude that is clearly a man in a monkey suit, in a gorilla suit, that is sitting in the gorilla enclosure, in the monkey enclosure. Whereas in 76, they're going through like a safari park, where the apes are on the outside, like, and they're just kind of like jump around. It's all real apes, you can tell. But in 2006, they're panning across, and it's just this, it's like trading places.
Yeah.
The dude's just in this gorilla suit sitting in the corner. I was like, fuck, I had to rewind it. I was like, there's no way they're trying to pass this off as gorilla. What's going on here? Did we blow our budget on evil kids? Like, we couldn't get just a gorilla to sit there? What is this? I think Harambe was still alive. We could have put him in there. But it was rough. I was like, wow, that took me out of the movie. That took me right out. Especially after they put...
I have to go back and watch because I didn't pay enough attention.
It's either just fast forward to it and watch it. It's so funny because there's two shots of them. There's like the wide shot where you're like, wait, is that a guy in a monkey suit? And then they get the closer shot where it's definitely a guy walking suit. And the funny thing is, like, the question is like, wait, did they put all their effort into casting the most evil dog that's ever existed? And then they were like, oh shit, we don't have the money for an actual gorilla. Bill, go down to props and get the costume. You think it'll work? No, it's not. So we're just gonna pan across.
It's like
You've seen too closely.
the fucking Bigfoot footage. That's absolutely a dude in a Bigfoot costume.
It is exactly. I was like, holy shit, that's a dude in a monkey costume. What's happening here? But yeah, that cracked me up. I was like, you gotta be kidding. It's, can't believe this shit. Of all the things in the remake to cheap out on, we cheap out on the dude in the monkey suit. Who doesn't even really do anything? All he used to do is kind of like shoulder the glass, and all you really had to do was like get some footage of a gorilla doing that and like digitally put the cracks in the glass. You didn't
Yeah.
need to have a stunt man in a suit to do this. It just makes no sense. But all right, so I think our final total does put 76 over.
By a fair bit.
And that's basically for like it's kind of like the supporting cast of the main actor,
That's,
basically.
yeah, the only performances that 2006 won were the priest and Damien. And then the
Damien,
only
so
like differences that 2006 won were the deaths. So it was like an 8-3 win for 76.
yeah, especially since we kind of handicapped 2006 by doing the category where it's like the least necessary bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but so 76 Omen, the better of the two. Now, like, before we get into talking about what we're going to talk about next week, where can people find us on the internet?
You can find us on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Overcast, just about anywhere else you get your podcast from. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Happy Hour Films Podcast. Go like and subscribe, please.
That's right. Do it. We'll kill you. I mean, no, we're not gonna kill you.
I mean, Damien might push over some blocks and make lightning hit a church.
And we're gonna find you. We're gonna find you with a razor scooter or a big wheel. It doesn't matter. We're gonna kill
Because
you
for
like.
some reason in this universe, the Antichrist decided to try and come to power with a very small beer podcast.
Yep. He's not a great demon. He's not a great Antichrist, but
He might have
he'll
been
figure it out.
misled.
He'll figure it out. But so next week we're still like we said, this is kind of like a little mini horror month. But next week we're still in 1976. We're still talking about evil kids. Just this one's an evil girl, and she's a little bit older. She's an evil high schooler, and she's my wife's namesake. So we're gonna be talking about Carrie. We're gonna talk about 1976, and then we're gonna be talking about the Carrie 2013, which was Chloe Grace Moretz. And
Yeah.
I think I didn't. I've never actually seen the remake of this, but from what I've read, I think this one is more of a shot-for-shot remake. They did attempt to do a lot of shots the same in this one. It's not like Psycho, which is a full-on Gus Van Sant doing Alfred Hitchcock shot-for-shot, but it's still a an iconic remake of an iconic, not so iconic remake of an iconic horror movie. So, till next week when we talk about the prom queen herself, Miss Carrie White, I have been Ross Bacon.
All right, then Mike McGuigan.
I will see you guys next time. So long.